You're listening to Beyond the Chart, where we go off the record with Baton Rouge General's medical elite. I'm your host, Brogan Taj. Let's get charting.
Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Chart with me, your host, Brogan. If you don't know someone who's been personally affected by cancer, go ahead and turn off this podcast. Chances are you're still listening because everybody knows someone who's been affected by cancer. This episode is a little different because instead of a medical expert, we have a patient and cancer survivor on to tell her story. Lauren Ritchie's breast cancer survivor story is one of strength and focus.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Brogan. It's such an honor to be here.
Awesome. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderfully. I just had my six-month checkup over at the Pennington Cancer Center, and so it was all clear. Everything looked great, so I'm thrilled. Every time I go there, I feel the love. So
awesome. So before we get into your backstory and stuff, tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, where'd you grow up? Where are you from?
So I grew up right here in Baton Rouge, born and raised. Mm-hmm. I'm a twin.
Oh, really?
A twin brother, yes.
Oh, wow. How was that, like, growing up with a twin?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And especially just the time period and mm-hmm. just.
Were y'all all, like, friends? Like, did you have
We were all great friends. My brother's friends were my friends, and my friends were his friends. We all dated each other, and then we're just best friends end of everything. So we had a lot of fun, a lot of good memories. And I also have a younger sister who is just 2 years younger. So we were all really close and went to high school together, went to college together, and now we all live here. So
awesome. Where'd you go to college?
LSU,
of course.
So me and my siblings, we all went to LSU and state. We actually all three moved to New Orleans for some years after college, and then ended up coming back. So
okay, what brought you back here? What do you do now?
I am a CPA.
Okay.
So that wasn't necessarily what brought me back here.
Yeah.
That was kind of always the plan, just to raise kids, you know, my kids here and be close to their grandparents. So I love New Orleans. I love being a tourist to go back there. But
so you just said you have kids. Tell me about your kids.
So I have two daughters, Annabelle and Scarlett. It's so much fun, you know, having two girls, and they are in sixth and fourth grade and just fun ages. And
So you're really close with your family?
Yes, we're all very close, and it's a great big support network. So
which I'm sure you needed that support.
Yes.
So and that's kind of why you're on the podcast today.
Yeah. So and I actually was diagnosed when I had only been back in Baton Rouge, you know, a year or two. So it really was.
Yeah. So take me back a little bit before that diagnosis. What were your symptoms? Like, what happened?
So I did not really have any symptoms per se. Mm-hmm. I did when I was 29 years old. I had my cousin who at the time was 12 years older than me. So she was in her late 30s, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And her dad is my dad's brother. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, I guess within a few months, my aunt, who is my dad and my uncle, the cousin I just was referring to, his dad, they're three siblings. My aunt was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. She was around 60 at the time. So my uncle, we're talking about the my cousin's dad, one of the siblings, he was a retired doctor and, you know, loved to do research and things on his own and was learning about this BRCA gene.
Okay.
And so he said to my father, you know, we need to get tested. Myself and you and our sister should get tested for this BRCA gene, because this gene considered like it was they were saying, like, raises your risk of developing breast cancer by as much as, like, 80-something percent. And it also increases your risk of developing ovarian cancer by not as much, but...
So when your aunt and your cousin were diagnosed, they found out they had that gene?
So, yes. So, so the siblings who was my dad, my uncle, and her and their sister, who was the one, diagnosed with ovarian cancer at around 60, they all got tested. All three of them had the gene.
Oh, wow.
So that meant, because you can only, the gene can only be passed through your parent.
Okay.
So if my dad had to, would not have tested positive for this BRCA gene, we would not have needed to get tested. So once he tested positive, which with a man, you know, it's not a, it's not, I mean, they.
Because it's more common for breast and ovarian cancer. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
So we, so myself and my sister, my younger sister and my twin brother, we all got, you know, and also all of my cousins.
Yeah, everybody's
Everybody
kids.
Got tested. And so out of everybody, I was, and besides my cousin, who had, you know, she was 38 and developed breast cancer, we both had the gene.
So your sister and your brother don't.
My sister and brother
don't.
That's
so weird. Genetics are so weird.
It's so weird. And then, you know, this is, I'm jumping ahead of myself, you know, but my brother actually, my twin brother actually developed colon cancer 2 weeks before and was diagnosed 2 weeks before I was diagnosed. And it was not supposed, I mean, they don't, I don't think they know everything that's genetic yet, but his was not, I mean, he tested negative for BRCA and then. On top of that, they did other genetic tests. They don't know if it was if it's genetic with his colon cancer. But anyway, that's just a side note.
Yeah, no, that's like how you got. Yeah, that's how you discovered that. So, how old were you when you tested?
So when I tested, I was 29, and so to find out you have this gene that you know pretty much guarantees you're going to get cancer, even though at the time, I guess this when I was 29, this was early 2000s. When I found out.
Were you married? Did you have kids yet?
Well, I think I might have been engaged. I did not have kids.
Okay.
So, at the time, you know, I found out at 29, I just did not want to have to deal with that. Yeah. But, you know, I was able to kind of compartmentalize the outcome, which is, you know, it all goes back to the focus, my word that I put in there.
Yeah.
I just said, okay, I'm going to just do what I, you know, handle what I can control, which was just be proactive, get mammograms every year.
Every year.
Every year. Because with breast cancer, as I've learned and as we're all learning so much, early detection is so important. So many instances have just brought home this this very important fact to me that how early, you know, early means everything. And so once I, you know, 29, I started getting the mammograms. And I guess I was probably a few years into getting annual mammograms. And one of the radiologists reading my report said, you know, you really should get in, your breasts, you know, are dense and it's hard to, hard to see, you know, MRIs, you'd be able to tell like different differences in shading and just small changes from year to year. So I started doing the MRIs and, you know, everything was clear for many years. And I was a little bit mid thirties, having children a little bit later. And so I had my girls back to back. I did IVF with my first child, which was hormones, a lot of hormones, which I don't know, you know, if
that affected anything.
I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world to have my children. And I don't think I really thought about it like that. Like, oh, estrogen, is that going to,
like,
you know, fuel some cancer or something? I mean, I wouldn't trade it no matter what, but but anyway, so, I, you know, thankfully had children and I knew kind of that I was two was going to be good for me. Then we're in, it's 2013 and, I had, you know, my second daughter was 15 months old and out of left field, I found out that my twin brother was diagnosed with colon cancer, which totally rocked my world, and just I was just devastated with that.
That is devastating.
Which probably
was he showing
actually,
signs or symptoms?
He, with of course with I don't know if it's t- men. We had no men.
Yeah.
We had no idea. My mom, nobody knew that he was I think he might have been having slight, but thankfully he to his it personally privately he's very you know aware of his body and stuff, and so he didn't mess around, but we didn't know anything, like the family. So it was just it was very much out of left field to find out that he had, you know, was diagnosed. I was we were all, you know, devastated, and I was probably more scared for him than I ever really felt for myself. It's just I guess maybe it's just differences going through it yourself. But so he so you know we're going through it with him, and he you know those first couple of weeks, I think in every part when you get diagnosed with cancer, I just think there's nothing that can be harder. Just knowledge is power, and not knowing allows your brain to wander. But so 2 weeks we're you know finding out all the information for him, and then I was scheduled after you know just so happened he was diagnosed I think in early November of 2013, and then 2 weeks later I was scheduled for my annual MRI, and I came so close to canceling it because I had been clear the year I had or I had one the year before right after you know I had my second child, so I was clear.
Yeah,
I mean it was everything was normal, and so, but I didn't. And when I had my I went in for my MRI, the radiologist said you know there's some changes and.
That's crazy. What a year.
A year. And it was, I mean, if I did not know that I had that gene, I would have never, you know, been, the recommendation I think 40. Is 40.
Yeah.
So I would have listened to the,
because you weren't 40 yet.
No. And I mean, I think there's a reason for, you know, most people to have it at 40, you know, I guess that's why it's so important to talk to your doctor about your specific situations because it is, I mean, it can save your life if you get it before, you know, if it's needed and you have your mammogram or MRI before 40.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way I would have, if I would have waited until 40. Because
it just grew so much in a year.
It did. It would have.
So, like, imagine a couple it more years.
I would not have survived because it was a fast, I feel like from what the information that I learned about my cancer that it was fast moving and there was no way it would have, you know.
What was the first thing that crossed your mind when there's something on the scan?
Just not believing because of my, kept thinking to myself, my twin brother, there's no way, how could twin, I mean, it doesn't make any sense in my reasoning, but that's what I was thinking. And then my brother happened to be in surgery that day, so I had to call, you know, my mom and say, exactly. She knew I was going to my appointment, so I had
to
say.
And it's always, it could be.
And yeah.
There always could have been something.
Exactly. But it had been a lot of years of just, oh, fine. And so, you know, it was just, I took it probably second by second because it's just, I tried to take it second by second. Of course, those first 2 weeks, it's just the not knowing is very hard.
So what was like the course of action? Found something and then what?
They said this MRI, it's, you know, there's some shading, there's some, you know, it looks like the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we went, I just didn't want to wait to schedule a biopsy. We did a biopsy that day.
Oh, wow.
And so once I got the biopsy, then it was there's nothing you really can do to speed it up. That takes like a week. And then my doctor called and said it's invasive. And I had already known that even if it was non-invasive, like pre-cancer, which is what it might have been, I was going to get a double mastectomy. Okay. I mean, that was always kind of the plan, even just preventatively. I really wanted to do it preventatively, but.
What stopped you?
Well, before? I was, wanted to breastfeed. Yeah. And I said, I'm going to have my babies and then I'm going to do the preventative mm-hmm. mastectomy. I mean, it was not much time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I didn't get to make that choice, but yeah. I knew I would get a double mastectomy. And it's just a lot of decisions to be made and a lot of things. And then with reconstruction, there's so many different mm-hmm. methods and there's no, I think nowadays there is more of a gold standard with reconstruction, mm-hmm. but there was just so many different equal
yeah.
reconstruction methods or, you know, back then. And so that's a lot to think about.
Like while you're under yes, all of this and, other stress.
Exactly.
And you had an added stress of your brother also has cancer.
Exactly. Like, you're not really wanting to.
And you had small kids at home also.
Exactly. But with reconstruction, you can always, there's no reason to really be in a rush. I mean, mm-hmm. I know a lot of women or women who are diagnosed don't want to wake up with nothing.
Yeah.
I think that was what I heard a lot
mm-hmm.
With the pros and cons of
yeah.
having immediate reconstruction or versus, you know, just going yeah. back to it. And I just worry, a lot of my decisions at the beginning were based on trying not to, like, thinking I was going to be more traumatized with mm-hmm. different things that
weren't
real.
Yeah,
weren't real. Just
they were
just
in your head.
If I wake up and I'm like, just don't have anything, I'm going to just go into
you're
a tailspin.
Yeah, you're not going to feel like a woman anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
so just, what did you end up doing?
So I did end up having immediate reconstruction.
Okay.
But after that, I had revisions.
Yeah.
And
any, like, medical pros or cons to, like, having the reconstruction on the front end or?
I don't, not medically, unless yeah. you're going to do, I did not have to do radiation, which
okay.
is a big thing, mm-hmm. a big thing to consider in reconstruction because mm-hmm. Because it really, you know, deteriorates the tissue that you have mm-hmm. left. So if you go have reconstruction and then do radiation, it's going to
yeah.
probably change. So that
played a factor for you.
Yeah, that definitely that played a factor.
Did you have to do chemo?
I did do chemo. I did 6 rounds of chemo. I did it here.
Okay.
And that was probably just one of the, to learn that I had to do chemo mm-hmm. was very devastating for me. I we were still coming off the 8. Like I grew up and remember cancer of the 80s where mm-hmm. you just would, you know, you saw a young woman, you know, who was diagnosed with cancer, no hair, and it just, they just never came back. Getting diagnosed with breast cancer in before 2000, you know, in the 80s, early 90s, it
was a different time.
It was just different, but I just remember, I just didn't want people to feel sorry for mm-hmm. me. I just remember just the things I was worried about with, especially once I found out I had the gene mm-hmm. and then I was like, knew I had such a high, you know, high risk factor for developing cancer. The things you think about that are just going to devastate and destroy you. Oh, my hair, you mm-hmm. know, people are going to feel sorry for me. That's like, you know, I mean,
yeah.
just so much ego, you know, even when I was diagnosed. And that's it sounds very cliched to say that so many blessings have come out of just having my outlook and just my views and fear, just everything.
Yeah.
Just kind of.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Just that's I've never heard anybody talk about it like that though. Like yeah. bless it. Like things there, that came, there were good things that came out of it.
Really. And just.
It shifted your perspective.
Yeah. And I said a word to describe how I'm feeling now is focused, but it's really. I, on the things I'm not focused on so
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
Cause there's just only so much you can control.
Yeah.
And I don't let myself try not to let myself focus on things that just aren't real.
Yeah.
Like it just worrying about my worries and,
I know that one. Yeah.
And so I think I just feel less stressed than I ever was before, you know, my diagnosis.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It is. It is. So,
did you and your brother do chemo at the same time?
We did.
That's
isn't that crazy. Wild? Yeah, that yes, wild. We did.
I mean, and at least you have a support.
Like, we did. And, you know, it was just so surreal at the time, just being, at, you know, you don't get a grasp. You don't appreciate the magnitude of the situation mm-hmm. when you're going through it. But, yeah, we're both going to be like, we're both coming up on 10 years. It blows my mind every time I think about it.
You've done everything in your life together. But like literally everything in your life together.
I know. And just the fact that it's so, his is not, at least not the same kind of genes.
Yeah.
So it's just, that's a weird thing in the universe. But,
that is a weird thing in the universe.
And I mean, I just was so worried about him and it really took the focus. I mean, just like twins, I mean, I've always kind of been like, you know, they say when you have twins, mm-hmm. one is kind of looks out for the, you know, just yeah. kind of is. And that's, I always kind of took care of my brother. Like I was 2 minutes older and mm-hmm. the boy who would forget his book sack at school, you know, yeah. I had to be responsible for helping him remember. And so it was just.
That's wild. Yeah. I would like to know how many cases around the world of twins having cancer together at the same time. Because it can't be that many.
We said that so many, that same statement so many times. Just, is there anybody, you know, twins that.
Like,
I would really. Each other. Exactly. Yeah. And you would think, when they say twins developing, you would think that it was something related that. Mm-hmm.
I would think if it would be like two girl twins that like both had the gene or something. Like maybe I could see that, but like, it's crazy that two separate
occurrences. It really is. And, you know, not to veer off subject too much, but you just reminded me like when you said two girls genetics, it's also strange that like, you know, you usually look at the maternal side, you know, mm-hmm. for breast cancer. Yeah. And that's, so it's just kind of, I just remember before my diagnosis when I was doing, you know, the screens and stuff, mm-hmm. I would say, oh, no, it's from my dad's, you know, this is from my dad's side. And some people said, oh, well, you know, I mean, there's still so much we're learning. And I just that maternal side is really where the focus is. So it's not always the maternal side. It's just.
I think I was under the assumption it was. So that's an interesting tidbit also.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, with the BRCA gene, most people, for at least it used to be mm-hmm. this way, that most people find out about the BRCA gene when they're actually diagnosed with cancer. So it was a pretty, you know, unique situation.
Yeah. I mean,
want to find out.
Because usually it's with breast cancer, so it's a mom and then, like, the daughter, you know.
Exactly. Then that's, you know, kind of but, you know, I was mad to know about it. If you want to know the truth, I was mad. I was like, this is just, I don't need. But
you were young.
Definitely saved my life.
Did you feel like it was a death sentence?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Were you mad that you had it and, like, your sister didn't?
I felt more sorry for myself.
Yeah.
Just kind of.
Like, why me? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, really the only one.
That is weird.
And it is. But, and then we just went through so many, like, kind of round and rounds about it within our family, just like, or just discussions mm-hmm. saying, well, I mean, how do they know that you have an 80-something percent? Everybody who tests for this gene already has cancer. So, of course, it's like, and it gives you that percentage. And then.
Did you ever feel like you were going to be the 20% that didn't get it?
I did. I was like, I was in denial. And I just wasn't. I think if I would have truly believed that I was going to get it, I would have been so scared all the time. And it's. You know, I was the biggest worrier about my worries and mm-hmm. everything. And now I'm such the person that tries not to think about the end result always. I mean, I cannot ever say I'm cured from cancer. Mm-hmm. I just take it if I can make it to 5 years, if I can make it to 10. And now.
I mean, 10 years, that's a big accomplishment.
It is.
Are y'all going to have a party?
I want to.
That would be so fun.
I definitely want to have a party. And this is where I feel like I can celebrate no matter what, I still made it. Made it to 10 years. I'm such a person that is worried I'm going to jinx myself by, you know, saying yay. But
no, you have to. Mm-hmm. Like after all you've been through.
But
like,
10 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to celebrate.
Yeah. That. So how often are you still getting yearly?
So, yes, I'm going every 6 months to see my doctor at Pennington, and I love him so much. I'll probably go the rest of my life. Who is Dr. Militello. Yeah. He's just, like, the most amazing person. They're all, like, seriously, it's just, like, I want to cry because they're just the most wonderful people, and you can tell that it's just, like, genuine, like, it's, like, almost like a missionary work.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And I just, I mean, I don't feel love for my girls all the time, but I just, for some reason, I just feel, I feel loved over there. Like, you can.
Well, I love that. I'm sure they're going to love to hear that too.
So it's, you know, it's, it, it makes the day and the experience and the, so much better.
So from,
we're in, so 2013, I was going every 3 months and then Dr. Militello had to make me go every 4 months. I was like, because I could go every 3 months. You know, like I didn't mind because it's a relief. It's a peace of mind.
Yeah. Do you still get nervous going to appointments?
I don't, because I don't. I just think I have to go to an appointment.
Yeah.
I don't think about the result. I mean, I don't want to get too. I never want to get too ahead of myself and assume or, you know, take anything for granted.
Yeah.
Because, it's just, it's hard to see. It's sometimes it's just hard to understand why some people have a recurrence and some do. I mean, people with a lower stage than I had.
Mm-hmm. So what stage were you?
I was stage 2A. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, I didn't even know there were A's.
Yeah. Stage A. So A is, might not involve the lymph nodes, and then B involves the lymph nodes.
Okay. Yeah.
So, really, I mean, I thought I was hoping for like pre-cancer.
Yeah.
And you just don't know until they send it into pathology. And then, and really you don't know until you go into surgery.
That's crazy. From nothing to stage 2.
Yeah.
Like it's like within a year.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's
scary.
And it was a very, from what I remember being told, it was kind of like a unique looking cancer, which the more unique, I think, is not good, you know, because it's,
So, I mean, this might be a hard question to answer, but are you worried that you're going to pass on the gene to your daughters?
Yes, I'm very worried, and they will be tested, you know, as soon as, not too early, but probably before they get out of high school, get tested, because, they could do some preventative surgery earlier than I did.
I mean, would you encourage that?
I would.
Yeah.
I think I would for the breast. I wouldn't, obviously like the ovarian side.
Yeah.
And plus with BRCA, I have BRCA 2, which supposedly is a higher increased risk for breast cancer, but it's not quite as increased. I think there's like a 20% increased risk for ovarian.
Yeah.
And then BRCA 1 is like kind of
a little bit lower than
like is ovarian's a little bit higher risk, but then so, and my aunt had BRCA 1, which is very strange. I didn't know.
So now we can just get any BRCA from like passed down.
So that's crazy. I know. So that's something I want to understand better.
Yeah.
But so yes, my girls will be tested and told that this can save your life. And they kind of, for as much, I mean, they're 10 and 12.
Yeah.
They know I have a gene.
Yeah.
So, and they know that, you know, they'll get tested for the gene as well.
I would like to see, I mean, I'm sure as years go by, more research will come out and stuff, like how long the gene lives in people. Like, how long can you pass it down before it's, like, mutated so many, you know?
That's a great question. I assume that it was
forever.
I mean, there's a 50% chance that they each could have inherited this gene. So if they don't have the gene, then they can't pass it on. So, you know, there'll be a lot of things to consider if, God forbid, you have the gene, one of them has the gene, and those kind of subjects come up.
But I mean, they knew you had breast cancer. Yes. I mean, they were a little bitty, but like
they knew, and they still, that's probably
how old were you? You said 15 months and
15 months and 2.5 and, oh, wow. And go, and you know, I lost my hair, and that yeah. was probably, that was really hard for them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cause you can't really explain what's going on.
You can't, but then when you're going, I mean, that was probably one of my biggest fear. I mean, it's, I feel really silly saying that now, but mm-hmm. it's when you, if I could go back and tell myself how silly that was, I mean, how fast it was going to go by,
yeah.
like the hair and then it's already growing back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you don't even have yeah. time to think about it. You know,
you just got to keep pushing forward.
Got to focus on what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an amazing story.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to.
And I'm going to put the call out to our audience. If anybody knows of any more twins who had cancer at the same time, let us know.
Please.
Because that is just crazy to me. That's the craziest part.
It is. I mean, I wish we had the answers because yeah. it's too random.
Do you have a message for people who are going through this, just diagnosed, going through it right now? What's your message to people?
I'm going to say, you know, focus on the bare minimum to get you through.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about your worries. Know that the first 2 or 3 weeks are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. Even if it's really bad news, just knowing what you have to deal with mm-hmm. is just much more comforting. You just want to know. You just want to know.
So and you wanted all of the information. Were you like yes, looking everything up? Like
yes. I mean, and maybe that's not the best thing either. But
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Just not knowing mm-hmm. is very hard. And once you know, you settle in and you just focus on your plan.
Mm-hmm. And you obviously had a very trusted team of physicians.
Yes, I did. And just so, you know, friends and family and just advice, so much good advice. And then people, you know, survivors, hopefully you have somebody who's been, even if it's just one person that's mm-hmm. been through it,
I mean,
that
can be your sport. Pretty much everybody knows somebody who's and been through breast cancer or something.
Yes. And don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed to reach out to somebody or because you were also helping them by mm-hmm. letting them help you.
Yeah. I mean, you're helping people by just getting your story out there
right now. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that I tell myself that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm blessed to be here. And if I can help anybody by sharing my story, it almost makes the hardships work, you know.
Almost.
Almost, oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's still hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it, you know. Not something I would wish on my worst enemy, but
yeah,
you can get through it. It's not like it was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Breast cancer, they pour so much more money into breast cancer research than mm-hmm. any other cancer research. So you'll get through it.
Awesome.
You really will survive breast cancer.
And you're here. Mm-hmm. You're here to prove that.
Yes.
Awesome. You want to talk about something a little more light?
Sure.
Okay. I like to do these like rapid fire questions. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Salty or sweet foods?
Sweet.
Sweet. Even when, what was your like, when you went through chemo, what was your?
Salty.
Salty. It changed?
In that, yes. So and when I was going through nausea with like going mm-hmm. through pregnancies, it was salty. So I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe that's kind of better with feeling like to your stomach.
And now you're back to sweet. What's your go-to sweet?
Ice cream.
Mm, same. Me too.
Ice cream and candy. I like hot tamales, the candy, like yeah. Mike and Ike's.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So good. Those are some of my favorite. What's your favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty classic.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good one. Are you reading any books right now?
Oh, I love to read.
Oh, good.
I really love Audible too. I'm mm-hmm. always listening to a book on tape. Let's see.
Or just like, what's a good one? What's one you've read recently that like you would recommend?
Let's see. Daisy Jones and the Six, which also was a special on HBO.
Yeah. Did you watch it yet?
I did watch. I watched it too. I read the book first.
Okay. How did it compare?
The book was a little bit better, but I really liked the series too on HBO. Let's see. Jane Austen.
Okay.
Jane Austen. Yes. On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
Okay.
So I did and then Open by Andre Agassi. So okay. That is a random.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. I always have a book on tape or a book. So
I love
that. That's my thing.
What is your favorite vacation or your dream vacation?
Well, I took my 12-year-old on her 12th birthday to New York City.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
That was for a busy vacation. That would probably be, yes. Yeah. And then the beach, just to go and relax. I'm not picky when it comes to the beach. Mm-hmm. I love the 30A stretch or, even Orange Beach.
Just somewhere where there's water and sand and you can relax. Yeah.
But my dream, I would love to go to Fiji or
I just went to St. Lucia. It was lovely.
Oh, that's another one on my list.
I went on my honeymoon there. It was lovely.
Congrats. Awesome. When did you congrats.
Like that's 6 months ago. And I was going to tell you a second ago, I married a twin.
Oh,
wow. So lots of twin vibes.
Oh, my God. Twin
boys.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're not identical. They're fraternal.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so. Is your husband close with his twin?
Yes, they're very close.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They talk a lot on the phone and stuff because they live away, but when they're together you can see it a lot more, lot more of the twin vibes.
Well, that's fun. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. If money's no object, what concert are you getting front row seats for?
Oh, Taylor Swift.
Are you going to any of them?
We are going. I'm taking my daughter.
Okay.
This weekend, actually.
Houston show.
Show on Saturday.
I'm going next weekend to Atlanta.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm actually going to Denver, too. So I'm coming twice.
Amazing.
I know.
Good
I'm, so
for ex- you.
I'm so excited. Oh, have you seen Taylor Swift before?
I have. We saw her, the same daughter that I'm going. We saw her in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. The Reputation.
At the Superdome.
Yeah.
Yes. And my youngest, it's really her turn to go. Mm-hmm. They worked out a deal. My older daughter and my younger, I can only get two tickets.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
I would let them go, but somebody has to chaperone.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, I guess you get to see Taylor.
Maybe she'll come to Baton Rouge or something.
Yeah. I would love if she would add some more stops. That'd be great.
At Tiger Stadium.
Yeah. I saw her there too.
Oh, wow.
The 1989 tour.
Oh my gosh.
And she did the Fearless tour there too, actually.
Oh, so wow. You are my kind of girl.
Yeah, this is four times theater.
Awesome.
So
I knew
excited.
I liked you.
Thanks. So back to when you had cancer, just for a second.
Yeah,
how
sure.
did you celebrate once you were, they said, remission? How did you celebrate? What did you do?
So we went, I actually did go on a trip.
Okay.
Went to the Dominican Republic.
Ooh, fun.
To see some concerts with my, so we went right after I'd finished chemo in May, and we went the next fall on this trip, and it was amazing. I had my short hair, and
that was
really neat. Just being by the, it's the beach already feels just like free.
Yeah. Were you planning that while you were doing chemo?
Exactly. That
you needed the goals.
Yes, I did not have that plan before, and I said we got it. And that really. I would recommend that. Just something to just
set your sights on.
Yeah, set your sights on. Exactly.
Awesome. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Dog.
Do you have a dog?
Two dogs.
What are their names?
River and Copper.
Oh, that's sweet.
And they're so fun. They're only, they just turned a year. And
oh, so you have puppies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
wow. What kind of dogs?
Labs.
Oh, did you get them together?
Yes, they're brothers.
Oh,
so we were plan.
You love a twin vibe.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, exactly. We couldn't. They were the last two left.
Yeah,
the litter and yeah.
Oh,
so
sweet. They're like golden labs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
they
sweet.
Are. Yeah, they're a little wild right now, but it's great. It's
love that.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, is there anything that was just awesome? Is there anything else that you want our audience to know? Besides get your mammogram.
Yes. Obviously, don't let fear or anxiety stop you from getting your screening. You have control. Mm-hmm. Don't give away your control. It's just a task. Just get it done. Just check it off the list and you can deal with whatever, you know, the outcome.
And then you might be a 10-year survivor. Yes, survivor.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lauren, for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's really been an honor to share with you.
Awesome.
Thanks for going Beyond the Chart. Follow Baton Rouge General on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for behind the scenes, upcoming episodes, and more. Feel free to subscribe and leave a review.